Our scripture this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. A man's cheerful heart gives him strength when he is sick. You can't keep going if you have a broken spirit. If you've been around Keith Massey at all in the last 3 years, you know who he is. If you don't know who he is, you will very shortly. Keith is a non-traditional student. Since he's a guy, I asked him how old he was. He's going to be 47 next week. But Keith, as a non-traditional Christian ministries major, has a very interesting story. You got it from the title. It's Drugs, Jail, and Jesus. Please welcome Keith Massey.
Oh, you are popular.
Praise the Lord. I just want to first say good morning, Geneva. And I also want to say to my Hebrew student classmates, Baruch Atah. Today is it's very special for me. The reason being is, as we said in the scripture, that the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? I'm the testimony of the second part of that scripture. I was that broken spirit, and no one could bear me. At the age of 10, I had two major traumatic events occur in my life. First being my father. He decided that it was time for him to leave the home. So he left. Well, my mother, having two other siblings, which were girls, and myself, she, not knowing how to teach me how to be a man, she did her best in trying to help me by placing me around men that would teach me to be a man. But unfortunately, I had a male cousin molest me at 10 years old. And when that occurred, my identity was stolen from me, totally. You see, because at 10 years old, you just can't tell a person, or you can't tell your friends, that you have just been molested, that you've just had someone perform the sexual act on you as a man that should be on a woman. So I struggled with that for many years. When we're kids, one of the things you have to remember about boys is that, well, we dare each other to do things from time to time. Guys, y'all know what I'm talking about. I bet you won't do this. Okay. Well, at the point of once my identity was stolen from me and I so desperately wanted to prove that I was a man, that I was not what my cousin had done to me, I did whatever the devil put on my mind to do. I bet you won't knock that man out and take his money. I bet you won't break in this house. I bet you won't take this car, because only a man would do this. I bet you couldn't sleep with this many women. I bet you can't consume this much or drink that much. Any or everything that came on my mind to define what a man, only a man would do, I did it. And it's only by the grace of God that I didn't kill somebody, because I know that the state of mind that I was in and the brokenness that I was in, that if I had a gun, I know I would have killed someone. I went through all of my teens with friends idolizing me in the ways of the world because I was considered a player. I always had a bunch of girls around me. I wasn't the ugliest guy. So it wasn't. And they were broken too. So what would occur is we would many a time be found doing things that were unheard of, the orgies and many, many women. And my friends, they were like, wow. But they didn't really know that I wasn't doing that because guys do this thing. I was doing that because I had to prove to myself that I was a man. It was my fixations to prove, see, you're a man. Every time I slept with a woman, it's only by the grace of God I didn't turn into a homosexual. Because of these things, I fought this demon that resides in people. But for many years, in and out of trouble, one of the things that, as I reflect over my life, that I can remember so well is that when I got to the point where Christ could speak to me, he whisked me through my life. When I was a six-year-old boy, we went to the beach, and I ran before my parents, and I was running toward the shore, or towards the beach, towards the water. And after I got to a point where I could no longer hear my mother's call because of the roar of the sea, I found myself engulfed in a wave. At 6 years old, I drowned it, and I was dead. But God chose to have someone there who knew how to resuscitate me. And he showed me how he's always been there. Even though I was fighting through to prove to everyone and to myself that I was a man, I really wasn't proving it to anyone, because nothing satisfied, nothing proved enough to me that I was a man. I went into work, in and out of trouble. I went into the work field. And as I went into the work field, God blessed me still. I wasn't a dumb guy. I just had problems. I grew up in the church. Just to give you a little more background, I grew up in the church. But after what happened to me, I didn't want to go to church anymore. And the reason I didn't want to go to church, for many years I couldn't figure out. But when you sit down with the author of wisdom, when you sit down with the author of understanding, he shows you and teaches you some things. The reason I didn't want to go to church anymore was because what I saw in the church was what I didn't have. I saw the families with the father and the mother and the lovingness there. That now I no longer had that. So I didn't want to be a part of something that I couldn't have myself. Men and women tried, as I was growing, to infuse good judgment and sound wisdom into my life. But, you know, I just couldn't hear it. Because you are just like my cousin, and you're going to do to me what my cousin did. So you really sound like Charlie Brown's mother. Womp, 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 womp. I wasn't hearing you. I'm not trusting you. I'm sorry. And women, well, you may have had the greatest wisdom. God knows that they did have to try to place it in me. But a man don't do what a woman does. So if a woman told me, son, go left, I'm going right. Because I don't do what a woman does. I have to be a man. And in and out of trouble, back and forth, I so vividly remember the many a time I stood right before the same judge time and time again. And this judge would say, you got a good mother. I'm going to release you and give you another chance. But he didn't understand. And that's what really hurt me for so many years, that this man, I appeared before his counsel many a time, and he didn't realize something is wrong with this kid. He needs some help. But me just being released back to my mother wasn't the answer. My mother didn't know the need, but thank God she knew the true need that I had in my life. My mother stayed on her knees. I'm going to tell you all something. You might not understand this when I tell you, but prayer is powerful. It is the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous that availeth much. It is the prayers of the righteous is the reason why I'm standing here today. I just want you all to know that I know that there were many a time that the devils and death itself salivated, just waiting to embrace me, and God said no. And it was not because of anything that I did, because I was in the bed with the enemy all the time. I wanted to do things that were destructive. Didn't even understand why I was doing the things that I was destructive in. But God's mercy was there for me because of prayer. What am I saying to you? I'm saying some of you have some family members or friends that you know who have been in and out of trouble, who are maybe still in and out of trouble. Man, don't stop praying for them. Because of your prayers, God honors prayer. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that prayer is so valuable to God that it is enclosed in gold vials. That's how precious our prayers are, you know, to God. That precious. We have to understand, don't ever stop praying. But now going back to my life, how did I end up to this? I ended up doing an 8-year prison sentence, and how did I get here? Well, as I said, I was in and out of trouble. Drugs became a great part of my friendship. Most of the women that I indulged with loved drugs, and, well, misery loves company. So I found myself time and time again with a whole bunch of girls and a whole bunch of drugs and partying. But then there was a time where I came to my senses and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And again, it was only because of the mercy of God that he rebuked the enemy enough that I would have some sense. When I did that, I became productive for a while in my own strength. I still wasn't going to church, but their family members were still praying for me. What happened was I ended up working for AT&T. Because of a gentleman that knew my mother, who once also was a Christian. And he saw something in me. And one thing led to another. I find myself working for AT&T. At the time, it was the telecommunications of the globe. It was in AT&T that I became certified as a database administrator, as a network administrator, and to the point where I end up becoming a consultant making $100 an hour. I'm living in New York City on a 34th floor with a 24-hour doorman and a view. I can go wherever I want to go. I can do whatever I want to do, but if you can remember that scripture, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Although I was an adult in stature, I was still that broken kid. So when I had hurts occur to me, I responded to hurts like a kid would respond. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. So when I had situations occur, I only knew how to hurt people in the sense of a juvenile. And I found myself wallowing in these things. I go back into the party life because the women that are pure, the beautiful women like yourselves, I couldn't find myself in your presence because I wasn't worthy of being in your presence. And the devil used the shame of my past. Well, you were a molested child and people won't. And all of the doubts that would come on my mind were the things that kept me from progressing in the way that God would have called me to grow. Unfortunately for that devil, and I say it's unfortunate for that devil, he got me introduced to cocaine. And when he got me introduced to cocaine became a real good friend. And I got to the point where I didn't even want my family to know me. I became homeless. When I became homeless, it wasn't because I had no place to go. It was because of the shame had me so bound that I couldn't dare go home to my family to see me in such a state. Now, here's a guy who's making $100 an hour. He ends up losing everything because of the drugs, because no longer do I want to work. I want to party. Cocaine has become my friend. Matter of fact, I was speaking with my father on the phone not too long ago. And I told him I was going to be speaking about this drug thing in my life. And he says, I want to send something to you, son. I said, okay, Dad, send it to me. I don't know if I'll be able to use it. And he says, yeah, just read it if it be something that might be applicable. So I'm going to take a quick moment from this all and just read this. It says, my name is Cocaine. My name is Cocaine. Call me Coke for short. I entered this country without a passport. Ever since then, I've made lots of scum rich. Some have been murdered and found in a ditch. I'm more valued than diamonds, more treasured than gold. Use me just once, and you too will be sold. I'll make a schoolboy forget his books. I'll make a beauty queen forget her looks. I'll take a renowned speaker and make him a bore. I'll take a mother and make her a whore. I'll make a school teacher forget how to teach. I'll make a preacher not want to preach. I'll take all of your rent money and you'll be evicted. I'll murder your babies or you'll be born addicted. When you're under my power, you have no will. Remember, my friend, my name is Big C. If you try me one time, you may never be free. I've destroyed actors, politicians, and many a hero. I've decreased bank accounts from millions to zero. I make shootings and stabbings a common affair. Once I take charge, you won't have a prayer. Now that you know me, what will you do? You have to decide. It's all up to you. The day you agree to sit in my saddle, the decision is one that no one can straddle. Listen to me, and please listen well. When you ride with cocaine, you're headed for hell. And I'll tell you, I embraced this drug to such a degree that my identity became the drugs and a woman. That was all that made me. But I thank God so much for what he has done in opening my eyes that it was no drug and that there was no woman that could give me my identity but Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, I got on my knees after I had gotten myself into all of the trouble that sent me into an 8-year prison sentence. And standing before the judge, he says, son, you have 8 years. And I got on my knees when I went into this prison cell and I said, Lord, I'm 37 years old and this is where I have led my life to. God, you're going to lead me the rest of the way. At that point, God began to work with me. And he began to give me my identity, which is in Christ. See, the reason why so many of you see me smile at you and hug you and say hi and treat you like you're somebody, because I know how special you really are. And I know how valuable God says you are, being his image. And I thank God that he's given me an opportunity to just plant a seed in your life to just say this today. God loves you. I know he loves you because I'm able to say to you, God loves you. And because of the Christ in me today, it gives me the hope. And I know that if I have hope, it's only because of Christ. Otherwise, as I told many of my colleagues here and friends, I wouldn't be up here. Because my life to me is not one worth talking about, but only for Christ. It is that you understand a few things. That one of them is that prayer is so important. It is only because of prayer that I'm still alive. There are many a time that I actually sat down in my last year of prison. And I worked in the prison hospital. And many a time when I went into a room and I cleaned up a room and there was a man laying on his deathbed, or he was laying in a situation where he's about to check out anyway. And I would ask, well, tell me your story. What got you here? How did your life end you into this bed? And so many times I had to leave out of the room in tears because their story didn't even shadow my story. So I know it was only because of prayer that I had a sound mind after all of the drugs that I consumed. There were times when I would go on binges and I know that I did nothing but place poison in this body. But yet and still, I was able to stand and have a sound mind where there were other people that didn't. It wasn't a coincidence. There was nothing special about me. It was only by God's grace. And we have to understand that the grace of God is so powerful, and we don't understand sometimes the meaning of grace. I hope that one thing that you might take from my testimony to you is that, like the prodigal son, any of us who have found ourselves wayward, away from God, like me as that child. Once you run too far away and all you hear is the roar, you may no longer hear the Father call you. Let me hope that you haven't gotten that far away from your Father in heaven where you don't hear his call. Because once you've gotten yourself entrapped and all you hear is the roar of the world, then no longer will you find yourself in a position where God can call you home, and all you're at that time is the mercy of the enemy, and he'll shift you as wheat. Remember, the devil doesn't love you. God does. And a lot of times, just to plant a seed out there, many of us have defined the love that God is supposed to have for us through the actions of men. Because I know I struggled with that. At 10 years old, God, if you love me, then why would you allow my cousin to molest me? And why would you allow me to turn into the monster that I was? How could you love me and allow this to happen to me? You said in a word that you love the widow and the fatherless child. Well, I was fatherless, and you allowed this to happen to me. How could you allow this to happen? And you know, it's a careful person that confronts God in such a way. Because just like Job, he brought me to his presence, and he said, I'm the potter, and you're the clay. None of us have choices at any time in what God is going to do with our lives and how he's going to do it. We have to learn how to surrender to God, to submit to him. Listening is a key and essential thing in our lives. When I think about the 8 years that I sat in prison, I have to tell you all this, and you may not be able to receive it, but it was the best years of my life. When I sat in prison, I was free. The smile that you see on my face, I had it every day because I had received something that I didn't deserve. I received salvation, the gift of salvation that I know I didn't deserve. Like Paul said, the chief of sinners, I'm like, Paul, we're going to have to talk when we meet. I don't know. Okay, Paul might have claimed that one, but he may have to readjust that thought. Okay, but I say, thank God for Jesus because, man, if it were not for him, I wouldn't be happy today. I would be miserable with the things. And now let me just also say, In reflection, I regret many of the things that I did in my past. And if I had the choice of the matter, I would eradicate many of them, remove them from my walk. But it can't be. It was done, and it is going to be used for God's glory. It is to let people know that God, like he says in his word, is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. And knowing that the God that we serve is so powerful, this is the reason I impress on you all of my classmates. I thank you each and every day that I have an opportunity to just be in your presence. When I hug you, it's because I just thank God for you that you're alive and that you have an opportunity to be what God has called you to be. My encouragement to you is that you understand that the just man falls. And if you have fallen, get up. If you don't know Christ, I tell you, you need to know Christ. And the reason why you need to know him is because identities will be shifted from left to right. The enemy will tell you that you're this or you're not this. But when your soul is anchored in knowing who loves you, and that the God that you serve, that created everybody that's looking at each other and in this room, if you understand that the eyes of the Almighty is looking down on you and your circumstances and your situations and knows and cares about that, it's got to shake you. It's got to move you. It has to, because if you don't, you'll have no hope. And that was the thing. I had no hope. And when you're hopeless, you do anything. You're reaching and grasping, just trying to find something to give you some type of solidifying identity. But you don't have one. You can't find it. But then Christ says, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take Christ's yoke. I encourage you to know that identities, in a world like today, identities matter so much. I'm making a lot of money. I'm about the money. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain a whole wide world and lose his soul? Know that your soul matters so much. God said, I don't ever want to be separated from you. And so he gave us Christ so that we could have fellowship with him once again. And I don't know if you really understand what that means, but I know that it's a transforming power. Because I tell you, honestly, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted to know me. 10 years ago, I would have been your nightmare. I mean, literally, your nightmare. But when God steps in, he shows you what you're worth to him, then image doesn't matter anymore. I could really care less after I leave this podium what one soul in here thinks about it. All I care is that God is glorified in it. So when you look at me on this campus, know that it's because of prayer that I'm here. Know that it's because Jesus Christ loves me, that I'm able to love you too. Know that if it were not for Jesus. See, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that there are some people whose sins go before judgment. And then there are some whose sins follow behind them. You saw me, because I was in and out of the courts and I was in and out of the jails. So yeah, mine were before me. But there are some of you who may have your sins in your mind and in your heart, because God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. And God knows your heart as well as you know your heart. Get right with God. If you're not right with him, I encourage you to get right with him, because although you may not do or may not act in certain ways in front of man's eyes, God's looking on that heart. He says, if you look on a woman in lust, you've so done so. You look to murder someone in your heart, you've done so. You may not have physically committed an act, but if you've done it in your heart, God judges it as so. So I encourage you to know that it is not about us, but it's about the image that Christ wants us to have. And God's love will give you that transformation. Won't you seek him even that much more today? Bless you.